and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Seven Minds!
Boom!
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about.
Boom!
No.
Okay!
I'm going to join, Never mind.
I don't know you.
Yes, and for the next 2 hours, turn into your political porn.
Pass me my medication. It's madness, I tell you.
And welcome to the Twilight Zone.
Wow. Today is Sunday, February 10th, 2019. Wow. The madness continues. There's so much madness going on. It's insane. And so we're going to have a little conversation.
It's normalcy now.
Yeah, I mean, good grief. You can't even make this crap up, even if you tried. But, you know, we don't even have to. We just read the headlines that tell you pretty much the BS, daily BS.
If it's a headline, it's probably it's like, BS in the newspaper.
My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host, and we have so many things to talk about. Let's talk. I'm here in the studio with my sister. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our test producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great gal, Ashley.
I have my hand over the dump button.
I suggest you keep it close today.
It is like a teddy bear to a two-year-old.
She's been taking classes on Taekwondo, shut your mouth.
Sovereign minds, uncensored.
That's right.
Taekwondo, this is and not Carl's
fault. The whole program's just going to be...
Sound like an R2-D2?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the crane technique, only different. Yeah.
That is kung fu. That's not Taekwondo, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, get it right.
Thanks. boy.
And we've only begun.
We've always got one of those in every crowd. Got to straighten us out.
I am enormously pedantic.
Huh?
Never mind.
I'm also here with Red Smith, who is still in the unfunded seventh circle of an uncontrolled debt perpetrated by bankers to punish an amount of interest of fiat paper no longer backed by real money. While the mainstream media While the mainstream media prostitutes, politicians, pedophiles, and liars, leakers, libtards, and lowlifes have painted themselves into a corner of steaming pile of political crackers gone wild.
Breathe.
Good morning.
But on a good note, I don't keep my money at Wells Fargo.
Not anymore. Because you don't have it.
Neither do they.
That's why you don't put it in any bank.
The word of the day, boys and girls, is bail-in. Remember bail-out? Now we have bail-in.
Just bail.
We'll talk about the great banking institution who's probably connected to the mafia somewhere along the line and has a fraudulent set of books that doesn't tell everybody that they're so deep into debt that the derivatives market's probably going to wipe them and you and everyone else out that's connected with them.
You ever looked at the history of Wells Fargo? It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the tactics that they used to establish their stagecoach routes and how they actually built the bank in San Francisco. And there's a lot of history there that's kind of interesting.
Oh, Black Bart. Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey. Thievery from the beginning?
The gentleman bandit.
That's right. Could you please throw down the strong box? Mother, may I? Simon says. Okay, so you can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com, or you can call in at 530-605-4567. Or you can now go to FM 96.5, because we are now streaming and broadcasting and pontificating and whatever else you want us to do from several different
places. Maybe some
places.
Of you are.
Yeah, AM 1460 or
I'm just
FM. God, how do I put up with this every
and
single
And I just want to
week?
Say to Jimmy, he says that Ashley should hook up shock collars for all of us. Maybe for a couple of them. Not all of us, Jimmy, okay? All of us need to
it
shock.
It might just encourage a few of us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a bunch of manure.
We were talking about getting him embedded in the seats.
We'll just come in and put those electrodes in our necks. Oh, we also have a special guest today, too. Terry Raposa from the state of Jefferson is here with us today, and he's going to let us know what the heck is going on. Well, he's also from the great state of Jefferson. You do that, right? Good morning, Terry. Are you here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think you guys have taking up the whole first segment.
Well, what time is it?
I think so, yes. Anyway.
I'm late.
We've only begun.
Yeah. I want to let the folks know that tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview Road, the Reading Patriots will be presenting Trevor Loudon. Trevor's a New Zealand author. He's a speaker, political activist, a blogger.
Kiwi.
And probably is the most...
Well informed,
and maybe the most.
Come on,
I'm trying to find a word. Probably the most important
three syllables
word that I can think of today is person, being that is the one and only Trevor Loudon.
The one,
yeah,
and only. Anyway, Trevor is Trevor has two self-published books. He has one that's The Enemies Within and one about Barack Obama. He is well-informed on the deep state, probably more informed than anybody else in the United States or anywhere in just about the world. Very important that people watch the live stream on Facebook. And if you can make it, come to 2570 South Bonneview Road at the church that will remain unnamed so that Ashley doesn't get in trouble.
And
tomorrow
he's
night
be-
at 6 p.m.
They're in person, correct?
Live and in person.
All right.
With books,
you know, I remember,
and tapes and all kinds of good stuff.
I remember Trevor, four or five years ago when he was speaking in meetings and he told everybody, there's communists loose in America. And I remember several people go, oh,
there's a communist. I'm not sure
communist.
What that is. What's a communist? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just want to go to work and give all my money to the government.
Yeah. Now they're everywhere.
Yeah, in suits and office.
Yeah.
On all levels.
You know, when they start running for office saying, workers of the world unite.
Yeah. You know, in talking about that, we do have an important election coming up and some important things happening in California. And I wanted to sort of bring some stuff up to you guys on these different individuals. And do we need to go to a break here, Ashley? Are we getting close?
We've got about a minute and a half.
Okay. Well, I'll just sort of lay out a couple of things really quick because I want to get your feedback on this.
Make it fast.
I will. First of all, we have Steve Frank, who is running for the Republican chairmanship of the Republican Party of California. Travis Allen, who ran for governor, also is running for that same seat. Kevin Kiley, who is running for Senate District 1 for the seat in the Senate that's been vacated by Ted Gaines, who is now with the State Board of Equalization, and Brian Daly, who is the assemblyman here in District 1. Who is running for the Senate seat, also for the same seat that's been vacated by Ted Gaines. Now, these guys all have something in common. They think that California can be saved. And we're going to talk about each one of them, throw a little bit out there on each one of them. And what we want to do after the break is I want to get the feedback here of, we could just say, the Sovereign Mind panel.
So you want to talk to
Sovereign
Minds.
I want to talk to Sovereign Minds.
Now I want the shock collars.
In the first place,
it's infectious here.
I would point out that Senate seat was empty and vacant the minute that Ted Gaines was elected to it. It's been vacant.
Ted who?
Yeah.
Ted, I never wanted this for you.
Excuse me, Mr. Dolly. Who is that man standing next to you? Oh, that's our state senator.
Never seen him before.
Owns a lot of real estate, from what I understand.
Harvey the Rabbit.
Yeah. Or the Donnie Darko.
Okay, with that, we'll try to get back to some sort of semblance of sanity here.
Okay, we'll do it. We can
handle it. Do it.
You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State, and we're going to a break right now.
Are we going to a break? If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Something special.
Something very, very special now.
Just for me.
Oh, the well, sparkle wagon is a rolling down the street. Oh, the wagon has my door. Oh, the well, sparkle wagon is a rolling down the street. I wish I knew what he was coming for.
I got some salmon from sea.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
KCNR rolls into 2019 with great changes to our programming. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McLean News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, it's the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 1460 a.m. and soon on 96.5 FM. Now, more than ever, we are your locally owned, community-connected radio station.
Winter is coming. At least that's what the calendar says, and the nights are getting cooler. So you don't want to put off having your monitor or Toyotomi heater and water heater serviced, and SST Oil are the people to call today at 241-1167. Stay warm and cozy when the temperature drops by having that system checked and fresh fuel delivered. SST Oil delivering to our firefighters, and they'll bring that same dedication to your home. SST Oil, Windham Lane in Reading, 241-1167.
This Christmas, give the gift of down-home comfort food and treat yourself as well. Buy $25 in gift cards from Black Bear Diner and get $5 in Bear Bucks for your own post-holiday meal. Gift cards are the perfect gift. What better way to send your love than a cozy home-style experience? Stop by Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive. Open Christmas and New Year's. Don't forget, you can enjoy your favorite comfort food at home. Order online at blackbeardiner.com, pick up, or have it delivered.
Black Bear Diner.
That was some good-looking sounds there.
Just which floor good is this elevator stopping
sounds.
At?
That was some good-looking sounds, yeah. Ashley was doing it.
I'm not sure how you have that, but okay.
Yeah, you don't have, haven't you ever seen music before? You don't remember the old days, eh?
We are on
yeah.
air.
Yeah.
Good morning, out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
He had some bad broccoli once.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
It wasn't the broccoli.
Was
yeah.
I only thought it was broccoli. Broccoli with seeds. Yeah. So we're back, and go ahead, Terry. You,
well, you've got a caller on the line.
Well, I know. Okay.
So
I thought maybe you wanted to, you know, sort of preface the event.
I could.
Yeah.
And maybe the caller would like to hear that.
Yeah. Why don't you do that? Why don't you ask some questions, go through your little thing, and then we'll get. And then we have Dave on the line. If you can just hold for just a second or two, go ahead and key it up and tee it up and do whatever you got to do.
Okay. Sounds good. Anyway, we have Travis Allen, who is running for the Republican Party and the chairmanship of the Republican Party for the state of California. He was a former assemblyman, and he also did run for governor. His position is the way we can fix California is to get more Republicans. We need more Republicans. We need to walk precincts, get more Republicans. That's sort of been his main gig there.
So that just means that the Republicans have a better chance to get elected, and it doesn't really mean anything as far as representation, does it?
It means nothing. We still have one senator for every million people, and we still have one assemblyman for every 500,000. Let me just finish this one thought. So the thing is that with that, here he is wanting to spend $1 million a month on sending people out into...
Where does that come from?
Well, he's got a PAC.
Mm.
So let's go to the next guy. Next guy is Steve Frank. Steve is also running for the same position. Steve is also running for the chairmanship of the Republican Party in the state of California. He is the creator of California Political News and Views, and does talk a lot about the unfunded liability, which seems to be the elephant in the room. And
well, I got an article on that. We need to talk.
You
about
bet. It. You yeah. bet. And you know, you look at it now. I mean, they're admitting to $300 billion, but nobody knows. They have 11 accountants that can't figure out how far in debt California is. But you know, part of Steve's program is we need to get more Republicans registered.
Those are the same accountants.
Those
are the same accountants they're using for the climate change numbers, by the way.
I have a question. How are we to get more Republicans elected when right now it's a reverse sum game where conservatives are flowing out of California like we're bleeding from a neck wound? How does that work?
Well, that and they're going to decline to stay. Over the last 5 years, we'd have a 1.7 million person swing.
But if we don't
with decline to state and mm-hmm. Republican Party, so you're talking about 1.7 million people. When you look at the swing ratio, it's about 700,000. When you look at the reality of it, but when you see that kind of swing, what does that tell you about people that are saying, "Hey, I've had it with both parties"?
But yeah. What difference does it matter if the vote doesn't? I mean. It's all messed up.
It's just about right.
So what good does it do to have?
It do?
Yeah. I'm just saying you're not going to get any more representation or anything.
I think that's a good segue into our first caller, do you think?
I think so, too.
All right. Are you on the air, Dave?
I am here.
How's it going, buddy?
Oh, it's going great. Enjoying listening to what you guys are talking about this morning.
Stonewall.
That's right.
It's Stonewall.
It's Stonewall, yeah.
Oh, it's Titchnell?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
We thought you were that loony from Frisco.
Yeah, we thought you were from San Francisco.
Yeah, we wouldn't have had you hold if we knew it was you.
We were going to make mincemeat out of that mouse.
Yeah. See, that's why you have to announce yourself a Stonewall.
I just called for some free publicity this morning.
Well, you've got the floor,
Dave.
Well,
go for it.
All right, so this Saturday, coming up February 16th, excuse me, we are holding our third annual State of Jefferson fundraiser / Second Amendment rally. It'll be at the Elks Lodge at 100 Elk Drive in Sonora, California. Starts at 5:30. The cost to get in is $10. And with that $10, I'm going to give you 6 raffle tickets to help get you started in the party mode. We're not doing a dinner this year, but we will have some great hors d'oeuvres and a salsa bar and coffee and desserts. And there is a no-host bar there as well, so you can have a lot of fun in that way if you'd like to. We're hoping to probably match numbers from the last couple of years, 350, 400 people. I think the capacity for the room is a little over 400 when we're not doing dinner. So looking to have as many people show up from the surrounding counties as we can. I know we're going to have people from Calaveras, from Stanislaus, from Mariposa. We'll have a few from Merced and San Joaquin as well. So I want everybody to know that it happens on Saturday, and please show up early. Make sure you can get in the place and have a ticket and everything else.
And that's February 16th, this Saturday, correct?
Yep.
All right.
Doors open at?
5:30.
Perfect.
Nice.
Perfect. Very good.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot. Continue to have a great show, you guys.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Now, the other two people that I want to throw out to you to you guys is Kevin Kiley. He's running, he's an assemblyman down in District 6. Right. And he has parts of Placer County, well, he has Placer County, El Dorado County, and parts of Sacramento County. And I spent some time with him. We had dinner with him last Monday night and spent a lot of time with him. And virtually after we talked for a while, he understood the fact that Jefferson makes a lot of sense in the fact that these guys don't seem to understand that representation is a silver bullet. Nothing else matters unless you have representation. Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. You have to have representation. We don't have it when we have one senator for a million people and one assemblyman for every 500,000. So Kevin understands that. Brian Daly, now we had him in about 3 weeks ago at the Patriot meeting to speak. Brian's claim to fame is basically that, he is able to go across the aisle and he's able to go across there and get some deals made and things passed, and he can't do it alone.
Does either one of these guys publicly support State of Jefferson?
Kevin.
Does he?
We talked to him and he is supporting it. In fact, the crux I want to get to once I get in with Brian is that the way to change this thing in California, if there's anything that they can change, that would be to have an amendment to the state constitution for increased representation. I mean, that would be the
restore
only thing.
Restore the republic. Remove us away from direct democracy and restore the republic.
Yeah, the one.
Yeah, that's well put. Yeah. You absolutely nailed it. And we can't get any of these guys, any of these poor guys, we're trying to get them to do this. But there's such a reluctance. And that's the problem. There's a reluctance to see what the real problem is.
Well, here's what I think it is. And I think this is the prime example of what we're talking about in the real problem, is that there is the old antidote about statesman versus politician. A statesman is a guy, or a politician is a guy who runs to the front of the parade, and a statesman is a guy who starts the parade. These guys are not starting the parade. They're waiting to see how big the parade gets before they run to the front. And I think that's the problem in a nutshell. Where's the leadership from these guys? I mean, where is the courage? Where is the bravery of going out on something that they're afraid of, that might not fly, but is the right thing to do?
Waiting to see where it's waiting so that they can.
Yeah.
My question is what are you afraid of? What's the worst that could happen? The people that despise you.
I can tell you that right away.
You lose power.
Now you hit it. You don't get power. You don't get reelected.
That's
or you
right.
don't get elected. That's what they're afraid of, is because they think, and they justify everything, and large and small, in the fact that they can't do anything if they don't get reelected or get elected at all. So that means that you have to marginalize things, and you have to compartmentalize things, and you have to test the water over here, and put your thumb up in the air over here, and feel the wind, and test the wind, and look at the poll. But that's not leadership. That's not the right thing to do. That's not saying, hey, the Constitution is being usurped here, and we need to get back to, our God-given rights, that were given to us by our founders who fought and died and bled in the streets over this stuff. But no, let's try to figure out what we can, run by the voting sector who's being completely, brainwashed by the mainstream media so that they don't understand what the freaking issues are. But then we'll run on that.
Yeah.
Well, the point is that you have somebody like Brian Daly. His position is, okay, first of all, I don't really believe the state of Jefferson will work. That just won't work. It's not going to work. I'm not behind it. And then the other thing, Red's getting hot here.
Yeah.
And I'm with you, brother. Let me just finish my sentence real quick.
Did that warm you up at all?
Yeah, I'm getting him going here. But the point is that that's the point. But the complaint is, I don't have any help. I'm only one guy. Well, that's right. You need more guys. It isn't a matter of whether you need more people to vote for the same amount of guys. We need more guys.
Right.
We do have, by the way, Steve Frank on the phone. He is the gentleman we just talked about that is running for the chairmanship of the Republican Party, and I guess he just called in. He's on the phone. Red, do you have something to add real quick before he gets on?
Just very quickly with Brian Daly and listening to some of the things that he said recently, and he's basically said, what do you want me to do? I'm one guy. I can't do anything. He's basically said he's ineffective, and my greatest accomplishment is reaching across the aisle and bringing representatives from the south of the state to the north of the state to see who we live. And my question is, Brian, is what did that accomplish? How many homes did that prevent from burning? How many jobs has that restored? How much water has that protected? How many people are alive and safe in their home in paradise today because of you reaching across the aisle? Name one, Brian.
Well, the idea of being an appeaser See, that's the whole thing.
But,
I mean,
but we need a disruptor like Trump. That's why Trump got elected.
Right. Yeah,
somebody
we don't
who's
need
going to come
chamber.
In and disrupt this. We don't need somebody who's going to be an echo chamber for the star chamber.
Yeah, we need somebody that stands up for the people.
Stands up for the right, the Constitution. And
the truth.
Yeah,
and the Constitution.
Law.
The law. Yeah, exactly.
With that, we probably should go to our caller.
We probably should. Just remember one quick thing, and that is that the definition of an appeaser is somebody who feeds his friends to the crocodiles first and hoping he's eaten. Last. Steve Frank, are you there, sir?
I am here, and let me tell you how I stand on this. I believe in the words of Harry Truman. I don't give them hell. I tell the truth, and they think it's hell.
Well, that's pretty good. I like it. But Harry Truman, I don't know. I mean, what? So, okay,
what's
so
the solution to that,
what's
though?
The solution?
I mean, that's fine, but what's the solution to fixing California?
So, the solution is like an addict. Before you can get rid of your addiction, you have to admit your problem. You have to be honest about the problem. Then you can begin to solve it. And at this point, the Republican Party and many of its so-called leaders are unwilling to admit they have a problem.
So what's the problem? What's the problem, Steve?
The Assembly lost 5 members, and they still don't say they have a problem.
So what is the problem, Steve?
The problem is a lack of honesty as to the status of the state of California. We've become a socialist state. Our elected officials are willing to compromise with that socialism rather than standing up on their 2 feet and saying, this is the problem of socialism. This is the problem of a lack of representation. Los Angeles County has 24 assembly seats out of 80 in the whole state. Is it any wonder that Los Angeles and Southern California control the whole state?
So representation, right.
The people of the Central Valley and the North Coast and the north of our state having a say in it. You may have representation by having somebody elected to office, but they can't really represent you.
So what's the solution, Steve? I mean, you've kind of laid out the problem pretty well. So what's the solution? Do you support the state of Jefferson openly?
Ultimately, I support every secession.
It's not a secession.
Method.
It's not a secession.
It's a constitutional.
The idea that
it's a constitutional
state of Jefferson
split.
is the idea that the people of your area, as well as the rest of the state, are not being well represented. And the only way you get representation is self-representation. And if the people of the area want to be free of California, that's a determination for the people of your area to make.
Hey, Steve, let's have a conversation, yeah. Okay? First of all, okay, we have a couple of questions. Now, you made some points here, okay, and they're points, they're arbitrary points. But the idea of people representing themselves, that's not the way the United States works. We're a representative government. We're not a democracy.
We elect them.
Now, the other thing is that the people, if you have one senator for every 1 million people, and you have one assemblyman for every 500,000, and that's 500 times worse than any other state, and that's Texas that's part-time in their legislative body, how in the world do you separate these few people to cover these other, to cover all these people? They can't do it. We have senators and assemblymen that openly say that we have documentation of that they can't even talk to their constituents because there's too damn many, to quote one of them. So really and truly, how do you fix that without more representation? That is the silver bullet, and we haven't heard that yet, really, from anybody.
We have the same number of representation today as we had 150 years ago, and there's no reason for that. We need to be going back to the basics, getting a larger number of representation. In California, with 40 million people, we have 80 assembly seats. In New Hampshire, which has approximately 2.5 million people, they have 400 people in their state legislature. And there are people in New Hampshire who actually know who the representative is because they see him every day at the restaurant, at the grocery store, at work. And we need to get to the New Hampshire ideal rather than the California nightmare.
How?
Well, the only way to do it is through a ballot measure.
Constitutional amendment, Steve.
Because you have to change the Constitution of California.
Right.
and that's the only way. But there may be another way of doing it. If you remember many years ago, which caused all this, was the Supreme Court decision of one man, one vote. And that became a proposition in 1966 that Ronald Reagan, who supported it, ultimately said was the worst political decision he made in his life.
Are you referring to Reynolds versus Sims, Steve? You're referring to Reynolds versus Sims, and that was 1964.
Right.
And that's what you're referring to, and that's when Chief Justice Warren.
Right, 64, but 66 we changed.
We changed
here in California.
Well, what we did in 66 is we adhered to an opinion, because the Supreme Court renders opinions. We adhered to that opinion with one man, one vote. We didn't have to do that.
Okay, so then I have a question. Why can't we challenge that in court? Why can't we sue in court and take it to the Supreme Court? Because now we have a much better chance with a Supreme Court, especially if we've got Darth Vader Ginsburg out of the thing and get another guy in there, a gal or whatever, so that we would have a conservative court. Why can this not be challenged again as being unconstitutional because it takes away the a representation from the people of the state of California?
And why can't you do that in the state of California? Why can't you do that federally in the state of California, again with an amendment?
You can do it with an amendment to the state constitution, and I hear what you're saying about it taking away representation. I think the grounds that we would have is a suppression of vote under the current situation of representation, 80 in the Assembly, 40 in the Senate, that we have so little representation that the people don't want to vote because they don't see any changes. So because of the system, people don't vote, don't get involved in the process. And I would suggest that that's what one man, one vote has done, is suppress the vote instead.
Well, I also think that, you know, and I asked, I think, Kevin Kiley this question a week or so ago, is why, now these guys are obviously aiding, abetting felony criminals as far as sanctuary cities and illegal dissolution of the vote through the immigration policies and the open borders policy. Why doesn't somebody file a criminal complaint against one of these guys like De Leon or, I don't know, Governor Brown or Gruesome Newsom or whoever happens to be up there right now? What's the problem with filing a criminal complaint against them? Because they're obviously committing felonies.
And the felony they committed was Title 8, Code Section 1324 of the United States Code. That's Title 8, Code Section 1324. They aided and abetted and harbored illegal immigrants. That is, excuse me, illegal aliens. Mm-hmm. That is a felony. And if you or I did it, Steve, we'd be prosecuted. But I think we got to go to a break.
Yeah, with that, we need to go to a break.
So if you hold over, buddy, we'll...
Let's stay on the line, Steve, and let's get your answer, and we'll try to get it all from you.
And if any of the listeners out there want to call in and have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Loving, touching, squeezing, and we're on a journey.
Warm and fuzzy.
Oh boy. Hey, listen, we've got our guests on the line still. And Steve, go ahead and answer the question. I want to give you the floor here and answer the question. Why doesn't somebody get criminally charged here?
There's no reason they shouldn't be. I think the only issue is that of what's called standing. I think that the families of the victims of the illegal aliens are the ones who should be filing those lawsuits, demanding money from the legislators that voted for this, demanding money from the state of California, and demanding money from law enforcement that refuses to enforce federal laws. If you don't enforce the federal laws on illegal immigration, then you're part of the problem, and you've conspired to allow criminals to stay on the streets of our cities, which is against federal law. And the parents of the angel moms and the others should be filing those lawsuits, as many as possible.
Let me ask you this then, just to clarify what you just said. What you're saying is that we have the governor's office, we have the Secretary of State, we have Becerra, and we also have the mayor of Oakland
and the state legislature
who have broken the law. And you're saying that we have to have victims sue them? Now, do the victims sue them? You're telling me that there is no recourse for our legislative body to do anything about people in our government breaking the law, that we have to sue them? Would we sue them in the state of California, where our taxpayer money is used to fight against the people who are suing them? So we're paying both ways. What are you saying exactly? Maybe we're not getting it clear.
The individuals that caused this problem are in the legislature. They voted sanctuary state, mm-hmm. SB 54. The individuals that are enforcing SB 54, the attorney general and the governor of the state of California, are the ones responsible for enforcement of the law. Jerry Brown's no longer governor who signed the law, but Gavin Newsom is enforcing the law.
Right.
And so to expect a Democrat to sue the governor for what they themselves did voting is not going to happen. And if we're going to get done what needs to be done, we need to show the problem, and the problem is the crimes committed by this conspiracy to evade and avoid the federal laws on immigration. And that's what the courts would hold. And I would not go to state court. I go to federal court because these are civil rights violations by the government of the state of California. Every member of the state legislature, every constitutional officer, and those in law enforcement who refuse to obey federal laws on immigration. And as you pointed out a moment ago, the code in Title 7, I think you said
Title 8, Code Section 1324.
So my question...
That is a violation, and we need to be having those people who've been harmed by it. If we want to be able to move the ball forward to get this stopped, you have to have those who are harmed, or as they call it in the legal terms, have standing. And those are the ones who have immediate standing to have their court case heard.
Well, not exactly, because what you have is you have someone breaking the law. When somebody breaks the law, people don't sue them. They prosecute them, number one. So I don't know where you're going with that with all due respect.
What you'd have to do is it sounds to me like you'd have to file a criminal complaint with the new attorney general at the, in Washington, D.C.
And actually, here's how you do that. Here's how you do that, okay? You go to Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution, which states specifically that the state of California recognizes the Constitution as the supreme law of the land, and that the state of California is inseparable from the United States of America. That's number one. That's part one. Part two is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 of the United States Constitution, which specifically states that the jurisdiction of naturalization is that we have given to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
You have two particular moves right there. Now, I'm not an attorney, okay? But the point being, is that you have that right there. I asked Kevin Kiley this question, okay, and the same question that we've asked you. I mean, you keep going back to the lawsuit thing, and with all due respect, no, they broke the law. If somebody murders somebody, you don't say, well, gee, George, this guy murdered your son, so, George, you need to you need to sue him. No, I'm really kind of confused on where you're coming from, or maybe we're just not getting this straight. So I'll let you explain.
There's nothing wrong with both a lawsuit by those with standing as well as a criminal complaint. And you do make a very good point. There should be a criminal complaint every time an illegal alien commits a crime. The victim should file a criminal complaint on this against the government that allowed it. When that criminal, the illegal alien, has been deported numerous times, comes back, continues to commit crimes, and we continue to send them back because we're a sanctuary state and law enforcement doesn't turn,
which is against the
law enforcement, doesn't turn these criminals over to ICE and other federal agencies, they have committed a crime, the California law enforcement, along with the elected officials that passed the sanctuary state that mandate that if an illegal alien commits a crime, it's the law enforcement agent that's in trouble for turning them over to another law enforcement agency, in this case, ICE.
And just to make sure that I'm clear, your solution to this entire problem is that the families of victims at their own expense sue the state of California.
The state of California is not going to sue itself. Somebody has to be the one to sue.
Right.
And yes, the victims do need to sue the state of California as well as the federal government for the federal government's refusal to enforce federal law in the state of California.
Hmm. Who would we? We got a couple callers and we got to go to a break. So the callers stay on the line here with us, and we're going to go a quick break, Steve. And I want to know who would we go to file the criminal complaint? I think my civil rights have been taken away from me, and representation, and guaranteed form of a Republican form of government. And who would I go to right now if I wanted to file a criminal complaint? Who would I go to? And I'll take the answer after the break, Steve. And let's go to a break. And we'll come back, KCNR 1460, and also FM 96.5.
purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Vintage Public House in downtown Reading invites you in to experience their newly remodeled restaurant, now featuring your favorite classic cocktails, Sunday brunch, and more. A gooey, delicious addition on the menu for the month of February. Five featured grilled cheese sandwiches, from jalapeno candied bacon to a mac and cheese grilled cheese. Vintage Public House now offers Sunday brunch with tasty brunch offerings, patio dining, mimosas, Bloody Marys, and more. Vintage Public House. For more information, follow on Facebook or check out their website, VintageReading.com, located at the corner of Market and Sacramento across from the Cascade Theater.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Sovereign Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State. We're here with Stephen Frank, and he's a candidate for the GOP chairmanship in the state of California. And we're asking some pretty hard questions. I know these are pretty hot topics. We don't want you to think that we're attacking you, but we want you to understand that we're pretty fed up here, and we want to have some real answers to some of these solutions. So,
and we want to know where we can go to get the answers, or who's going to help us get the answers and the solutions to the problems that we're having.
Because unless I'm misunderstanding, what I'm really hearing is it's up to us. So what does it matter who we elect?
Right. So what do you got there, Steve? As far as this, why don't we go after these guys criminally?
Let me reply to what you just said. That it's up to us. It doesn't matter who we elect, and that is absolutely my point. We have allowed elected officials to say, "Well, we're in control. Once you elected us, we're smarter than you are. We're going to do as we please." And it's about time that we, the citizens, take responsibility for our government, our laws, our regulations, and the actions that are taken in our name. We can no longer say, well, it's somebody else's responsibility. We voted for you on November 6th. You got elected. Now we don't have to think about this for two more years. We need an active, aggressive citizenry that's involved in the process of government, whether it's at the city council level, the school board level, the Sacramento legislature, or in Washington, D.C. We can't say we voted, and therefore we've done our civic duty, and now we can hibernate for two more years. We need to be active. And so I do agree that it is our responsibility. And we've elected these people, and we need to hold, as my good friend Bob Dornan used to say, their feet to the fire. And even if they seem to be friends of ours or enemies of ours, we should treat them the same. They are elected officials, and they're to do as the Constitution says, not as their sensitivities want.
Well, I think then you got to be able to prosecute them if they're not going to do that. Or it's not just a matter of voting and getting them out. Now, we do have a couple callers.
I was going to say, we have a caller on the line. Maybe we want to get their take on this. Matt, are you there?
Matt, are you on the line?
Yes.
You're on the air. Okay.
You got something for us?
You're on the air.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, look, these guys are concerned with losing power, but they don't get it. I'm done voting for people who are just giving Jefferson lip service. They all can go, even if that means getting the Democrats elected, because there's nothing that's going to stop the agenda of the left in California except for a real leader, and none of them seem to be willing to commit to that. And, you know, so unless you guys can pin one of these guys down, they can all kiss it goodbye. You have a good day.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate
it. We have another caller as well?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we're...
You got a comment on that, Steve?
Well, I think the gentleman is right. We need to elect people that represent us and our views and the law, the Constitution, and not people who have a nice smile and lots of money. We've had too many people buy political office. We've had too many people who say, well, you know, so-and-so supports me, so-and-so supports me, so you must. And we never ask, but what do you stand for and what are you going to do? And if you don't do it, are you going to resign and not run for re-election or admit that you failed?
Well,
and we need to hold their feet to the fire.
I'm looking for somebody that will introduce a bill in the legislature, even if it doesn't have a chance of passing, that says that they want to help us put together a constitutional state split called the State of Jefferson. And I would like to see somebody step out of their box and display some leadership here, because it is representation which is the problem. And I haven't heard yet one way to fix that besides, getting involved and getting the election, outvoted.
And don't tell me it can't be done, because it's already been done in Washington State. The process is underway.
They're doing that there. But the point is, you know about our lawsuit. Is that right, for Citizens for Fair Representation? Do you know about that, Steve?
Now I do. Earlier today was brought to my attention, and
Terry Giardi,
I do know about that.
Okay, Terry Giardi.
This is the type of thing that needs to be done by the citizens. Take the reins of government in your hand and demand fair representation.
Let me explain to you what happened.
You continue to have multiple billions of dollars of deficit, socialist policies, and children that can't learn.
Well, and here's my question again that I keep coming back to, Steve, is I hear from you that the solutions lie with the citizenry. And I understand where you're going with that. But I think what we're after is, what are you specifically, as you, as an individual, as a person, going to do to reverse the direction of this?
And with that,
other
we
than
got
telling
about,
us that we need to do
and
it.
And I need to let you know, Steve, we got about 3 minutes to the top of the hour. They will cut us off. So you have to be kind of succinct
okay.
I'll
be quick. The first step is to get a political party that believes as you do. And that would be the California Republican Party. There's no way of changing that. The Democrats will never be represented.
We can't believe
that. So the first thing is to take back the Republican Party for the people, for the 4.7 million
Republicans
in the state of California. Then you need to open up the Republican Party to all the people of California, not just the special interests, the establishment, and those who have a desire for their own personal agendas. Third, we need to create leadership using the California Republican Party to train people in activism, or as Obama would say, I hate to use this phrase, community organizing. We don't do that sort of thing, and we need to start it. We don't win the state of California. We win your community and the community next to it. We win this thing by going after community by community. You're not going to win a statewide election, but if you win enough communities, it will look like a statewide election. So we need to train people. It's not enough to have good people like yourselves on radio or to do the activities and the lawsuits that you're doing. We need folks like you who are actively involved in government and challenging government throughout the state. And we need to train people to do that.
We have done the Citizens for Fair Representation. And Terry Giardi, who I know you know, I talked to her this morning. She said she told you about this court case a while ago. The real deal is that we've gone to court for it. I don't know whether, you want to hold on or not.
They're going to cut us off right here, real quick.
If you want to stay with us, Steve, go ahead and stay on the line. It'll be about a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back and continue with this if you're up for it. And so,
yeah, I'm always up for it.
Perfect.
Okay. All right. You've been listening to Sovereign Minds. Stay tuned for the second half. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State and 96.5 FM.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The White House is not ruling out another government shutdown as negotiations over funding for President Trump's border wall hit a snag. In Sunday talk show appearances on NBC TV's Meet the Press and Fox News Sunday, Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney says, quote, "You absolutely cannot rule out the possibility that the government may shutter again on Friday." He says, however, that Mr. Trump is trying to make a deal. The U.S. economy, well into its 10th year of growth, still has spring in its step. And as correspondent Jeremy House reports, it's all the more visible when set against a tiring global picture.
A robust January jobs report shows that America's companies are, for now, brushing off an array of economic perils and still hiring at a brisk pace. Meanwhile, overseas growth is stumbling, led by weakness in China, the world's second-largest economy. Europe is hamstrung by a recession in Italy and the potential for an unruly Brexit. A trade war between the U.S. and China and higher U.S. mortgage rates, partly engineered by the Federal Reserve, remain threats.
Elsewhere, talks aimed at laying the groundwork for President Trump and Kim Jong-un's next summit continue.
The top U.S. envoy for North Korea was back in Seoul Saturday to brief South Korea's foreign minister and its chief nuclear envoy on 3 days of talks in Pyongyang. Stephen Biegun describes those meetings as productive, but adds, "We have some hard work to do before the second summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Vietnam's capital, Hanoi, at the end of February." The State Department says the two leaders will seek to advance the commitments they made at their first summit to complete denuclearization, transforming U.S.-North Korean relations, and building a lasting peace on the Korean Peninsula. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Meanwhile, South Korea has inked a deal with the U.S. this morning to increase the amount of money it contributes to offset the cost of military presence on its soil by U.S. soldiers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Have you ever seen a pest controller spraying chemicals in your home? It makes you wonder, if their chemicals are safe, then why do they suit up and wear respirators only to leave you to walk back in unprotected? G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free, and I'm here to tell you there's a better way. In an age where we now have the choice to drive electric cars, you too can electronically rid your home or business of unwanted rodents and pests. The answer is Plug-In Pest Free. 100% chemical-free, Plug-In Pest Free is your safest bet for your family and pets. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off plus free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's gopestfree.com, promo code RADIO20. Don't spray and regret, Plug-In and forget. GoPestFree.com today.
Dr. Charles Schneiderman returns this weekend to honor a famous African-American medical researcher as part of Black History Month.
Charles R. Drew grew up in segregated Washington, D.C. in the early 1900s. He was an honor student at Amherst College, McGill Medical School, and Columbia University Graduate School. His research led to the blood banking system, which has saved millions of lives worldwide. He was also an athlete, coach, college president, husband, and father. Dr. Drew has many medical institutions, schools, streets, and parks named in his memory across the U.S. Charles Schneiderman in Washington.
A co-founder of the Friendly's restaurant chain and his wife are hoping to turn a replica of Thomas Jefferson's Monticello home into the centerpiece of a new educational and business center in Connecticut. S. Priestley Blake and his wife Helen had the nearly 10,000-square-foot replica of the Virginia mansion built in 2014 in Summers. It sold for $2.1 million at an auction 2 years later. The replica's mansion's owner supports the plans. News and analysis at townhall.com. You're probably going to want to update that Target store app on your phone.
Target has modified its smartphone app after a Minneapolis TV station reported
The prices displayed on the app changed whenever users approached the retailer's stores, sometimes rising by hundreds of dollars. Care TV reports the retailer recently released an updated version of its app that labels whether the price next to a product is online or in-store. Target says the updates to the app make it easier for customers to understand pricing policy. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, February the 10th, and a birthday for some famous people, including opera singer Leontine Price. She is 92 years old today. Actor Robert Wagner turns 89. Singer Roberta Flack has 82 candles on her birthday cake. Olympic gold medal swimmer Mark Spitz, 69. And World Golf Hall of Famer Greg Norman, the Shark, 64. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
All I did was touch it. Sorry.
Made a funny noise.
Uh-huh.
So, Steve, are you still there?
I am still here.
Okay, just want to give you this real quick, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mark. But I wanted to, okay, the CFR is the court case that we have, Citizens for Fair Representation, that we have in federal court for the lack of representation and dilution of vote. We filed this case on May the 2nd, 2017, okay? Once we filed it, and we filed it in federal court, because we know filing it in federal court, if it's a case of lack of representation or dilution of vote, according to McManus versus Shapiro, the judge, he or she must ask for a three-judge court,
right.
Okay? Now, the reason we wanted a three-judge court, Steve, is because in federal court, when you have a case of lack of representation or dilution of vote, and you get a three-judge court, your appellate process, win or lose, automatically goes where? The Supreme Court of the United States of America. And we did that. So we asked for that. The judge, Judge Mueller, gave us a three-judge court, and then a week later rescinded it. That's never been done in the history of courtdom before. She rescinded it. Because they were afraid on the left that even if we lost the case and we went to the Supreme Court of the United States, there's no way in hell that you can have a position to where the United States Supreme Court can uphold one senator for every million people or one assemblyman for every 500,000 because it goes against Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. Now, I know you've been had this explained to you before. I'm a little taken back that you forgot about it, but frankly, that's what the deal is. And this has been a huge deal as far as our court case goes.
Right, and that, of course, goes back to the Founding Fathers and the debate in the Constitution on the ratio of voters, whether it be 30,000 or 40,000 per representation. And so it goes back to the very founding days of our Constitution.
With that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Terry on.
Terry G., how are
Terry
you,
Terry G., how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What do you got for us?
First of all, for Steve Frank, and I was with him and Travis Allen last Saturday, in fact, in Calaveras, and found some good information, well, bad information. The bad news is I didn't realize how much the state party has done us in. And I'm fortunate enough to be on a central committee in El Dorado County that we have 26 members, and we're very active, and we take positions even on the county level and with the state quite often. My question is, we have 58 counties, and we're seeking representation for all 58 counties for the state of California. And 80% approximately of our central committee members are on board with the issue of representation as well as Jefferson. So my question is, if our chairman, for instance, and I know of other chairmen in Calaveras and elsewhere, were to bring a resolution to the state chairman committee, would you support an effort to say for the state party to take a position on the need for equal and fair representation for every citizen in the state of California? One of the problems I have is that the state party has done nothing to step out and say anything about for Republicans in general. No position has been taken probably on anything in the last six or more years. And the only thing that they did was for Prop 14, which now has done us in, as you know, when it comes to electing our U.S. senators, et cetera, because it's always the top two. And in a Democrat-dominated state, we very seldom get a Republican on the ballot. So those are two issues I would like the state party to take a position on. I know that you do support getting rid of Prop 14, but I would also like to see you take a position and think more about how important it is for representation. As Terry has said, it's a silver bullet, and nothing's really going to change. And there are people out there that recognize so clearly the imbalance of the representation. So I would like you to consider that, and I will propose the same thing to Travis Allen.
Well, as you know, Terry, I'm the only candidate for chair that has consistently opposed Proposition 14. I've never defended it on the floor of the state convention, as Travis Allen did, for his own personal goals. My other opponent, Jessica Patterson, continues to support Proposition 14. And for your listeners, let's be clear what that means. Those who support Proposition 14, as Travis did, as Jessica does, what they are saying is they do not believe that Republicans should nominate Republicans to run for legislative office or constitutional office. For your first question, or first part of your question, dealing with a resolution before the County Chairs Association, I think that's a great idea to do. I think the county chairs should seriously consider it, and I would hope they would vote for it and then move it to the Resolutions Committee of the State Party so that it's not only the county chairs that support that, but they force the state party to confront this issue of fair or unfair representation. And we do need fair representation, which we don't have today.
Thank you. And I do think that for our party, that would be a great marketing project. And maybe then we would have hope of getting more people registered to vote, as well as just voting. It's pathetic, the voter turnout by some counties with Republicans last year, and particularly in our rural counties. So I hope you will consider that. I will mention it to my chairman, and I will also contact other county chairmen.
Great. I appreciate that. That's super.
All right. Thanks for calling in,
Very
Terry.
Good. I kind of had to throw this out there because it is germane to what the conversation is about. Evidently, a federal judge has declined to block the citizenship question from the U.S. 2020 census as well, which means that the districts now that are overrun with immigrants that are being taken into consideration for the census are now, you know, getting that's diluting the vote based on the citizenship requirement to be included in the census for the purposes of redistricting the congressional districts.
Yeah, and the White House has gone to the Supreme Court because this case is now going to the Supreme Court and asking for an expedited hearing and decision because the Commerce Department, which is the government agency responsible for doing the census, needs to print up the census before the end of the year, so they need to have an answer to that question. And so it is hoped that before the end of June of this year, that the Supreme Court will have a hearing and will issue its decision so we could go forward. But it's ridiculous to consider that criminals from foreign nations get to have representation in the United States Congress.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Or in the legislature.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you count that. You count also the fact that, you know, there was a 1.5 million voters on the rolls that shouldn't have been on there in just L.A. County, and then the lack of representation. Unless we change these numbers, we don't have a chance. And, I mean, it's starting to incrementally get changed, but I don't see us getting any resolution in the state of California until somebody starts getting charged criminally and these things start being brought up to the AG in Washington, because otherwise what happens is it's just business as usual down there, and they just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, I would hope that somebody files a complaint both here in the state of California and federally against the Secretary of State, Alex Padilla, the California Secretary of State, Alex Padilla, for vote fraud. He refuses to do a computer run of the driver's licenses of illegal aliens in California versus the voting rolls in the state of California. If he did that, he would find, as the people in Texas found out, Secretary of State in Texas found out, that there are illegal aliens on the voting rolls. Now, they're getting rid of them which is the right thing. But here in California, our Secretary of State continues to defend and protect illegal aliens being on the voting rolls, and that's a criminal offense.
Well, we're right back to
Right back to it again. Yeah, I mean, this is the circle that keeps on circling. Go ahead, Red. You had
I just have a couple questions, and I wanted to revisit the statement that you made right before the break about how we grow the Republican Party and that the Republican Party is here to represent us. Number one, it's very hard to see anything that the Republican Party has done for anybody in the state of California in probably close to a decade. But my main question is you said we have to get rid of the special interests and we have to broaden the people and open the party to people that the party's not open to. What special interests do we need to get rid of? Who are they? And what people do we need to broaden the party for that are not accepted in the Republican Party now?
Well, let me give you an example of Chevron, the oil company. They give a large amount of money to the Republican Party. At the same time, they gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to defeat a Republican in the Central Valley, Justin Mendez, against an incumbent Democrat, Rudy Salas. Corporations have been playing both sides against us. They use the Republican Party as leverage against the Democrats. The only good news, if you put
what leverage?
Good in quotes, is that Chevron and these other large corporations are now, because there's almost no Republicans in the legislature, they are going to be stopping giving money to the Republican Party, except for chump change. Instead of giving a quarter million or a half a million apiece, they'll give $25,000 and say we've donated. They are beginning to leave the party, and it's a good thing to have the people of the party finance the party, that small businesses finance the party, rather than these big corporations that tell us how to do things. For instance, it was the big corporations that helped pay for a proxy drill to kill my resolution twice to put the state party on record as opposed to Proposition 14, the top two. And they've helped finance the effort to do that.
It's not
the chairman of the state party to take the floor to denounce the idea that Republicans nominate Republicans, and this is the chairman of the Republican Party saying that.
Well, this it's not only the large corporations. The other side of that is the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations that receive grants from the government. For example, Planned Parenthood, who donated $500 million to the Democratic Party last year. So what they're doing is they're the Democrats are funding the organization. So instead of taking the money directly from the government, which would be completely illegal, they fund these NGOs. The money goes into these NGOs like Planned Parenthood, and then they donate huge sums of money to the Democratic Party. So in essence, they're using the taxpayers' money via these organizations to fund their own campaigns.
And
that's right. We're going to have to go to a break.
The Party has not taken a stand against the financing of Planned Parenthood by government agencies, whether in Sacramento or Washington.
And with that, we have to go to a break. We do have a caller on the line. Please stay tuned. Hold on for us, and we'll catch you on the other side of this break. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State, 96.5 FM.
This is Carl in the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Redding. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Tracy Edwards. Join the Redding Rancheria for its 2019 Black and White Year to Remember. Saturday, March 2nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets include dinner, awards presentations, and silent auction. Celebrate the 51 organizations who we were able to help in 2018. One organization receiving an additional gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund. So come experience the Redding Rancheria Black and White Year to Remember. Saturday, March 2nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Call Maria Orozco at 242-4516 for info or tickets.
Tomorrow's so far away. There's something I just have to say. I don't think I could hide what I feel inside. Every day, knowing I love you. And I'm getting too close.
Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. If you don't like that, I can't help you.
Well, I don't know. I'm a little worried about him taking her by surprise. It might be an over-exercise of toxic masculinity.
Don't go there.
You sexist.
All I can say
don't
is,
go there.
Shut your yap.
I say, boy.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, how are you?
Good, and you? What you got?
Well, I wanted to ask a question about your show, and then I've got a question for you all. I haven't heard Chris Kellstrom on for quite a while, and he does such a wonderful job. I just hope everything's okay with Chris.
Yeah, I saw him Friday. We hung out a bit together Friday, and we'll talk about that later.
I just suspected that maybe it took too much away from his family day. What I'm curious about is Mark touched on the illegals, the not being questioned on the census, and that would give California four or five more representatives. I'm curious how the Electoral College works. Is that going to give California a couple more votes on the Electoral College?
Whoa.
Not sure what that was all about, but you want to get that?
I can explain it. When you count illegal aliens as part of a congressional district, you are actually giving more voting privilege to the actual citizens in there because only the actual citizens vote. And you have several districts in Southern California that are approaching almost 50% illegal aliens. That means the voting citizens in that district have almost a 2-to-1 ratio of the power of their vote over mine, which is a horrible violation of one man, one vote to begin with. Now, if you look at the numbers nationwide and you take a legitimate look at the number of illegal aliens, California alone, if we don't count illegal aliens in the census for the purpose of districting for the Congress, the state of California is looking at losing 9 representatives in the House of Representatives. And those would start going towards states that are seeing an increase in population, Arizona, Utah, Texas, different places. But as you take away the illegal aliens as being part of the districting, it actually pushes the model the other way. When I said in the state of California, we're looking at losing 9 representatives here that would go to more conservative states that are increasing in population, and you're looking at a total of 44 seats in the House of Representatives that would change. That's an 88-point swing and a complete change and devastation of the Democratic Party.
Wow, do you think that's why they want to keep the borders open? I don't know. Maybe just guessing.
Could I have a centavo, sir, so that I can pay my taxes?
And people are telling people this? That's all out there so that they know this is what's going on?
And then you have to look at the ugly underside of it, because these people are not fighting to make illegal aliens citizens. They want to fight to keep them as illegal aliens because they're now second-class citizens.
And they don't care.
It's like what Trump said at the State of the Union. It's not a good thing.
Slavery.
It's slavery. Yeah. That's what they're doing. They want a second-class citizen to come in here who will be manipulated with the vote by, giving the giveaway program. Give them a bunch of government cheese and they'll vote for us and they'll think we're the best thing in the world because they don't have government cheese.
Yeah,
they don't really have rights.
They
have state-issued privileges that if you don't vote the right way, you're going to lose.
And that's the term
exactly.
He said. It's not good. It's cruel.
But,
and that's the real deal. So
does it affect the Electoral College?
Yes, by 88 points.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what I was curious about. Personally, I think California losing some electoral votes and some representatives is a good thing.
9 of them.
Now, we're talking about Congress, folks, just so you have the clarification.
Yeah,
we're certainly
not
talking about in the state. We're talking about Congress.
Right.
Well, like
House
I say, I think it's a good thing.
Yes.
I'm ashamed to say I'm a Californian when you send Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and the rest of them, Kamala Harris, to Washington, D.C., I'm proud to be a Jefferson. Hey, have a great day.
All right. Thanks Nick.
We
appreciate that. Yeah, we appreciate the call.
So are you still with us, Steve?
Yes, I am. And I'm probably the only one on this call that's actually been a member of the Electoral College. And I was a member back in 1980 for Ronald Reagan. And the reality is what you've just discovered, or at least I discovered, is that there's another cause of action for people in Utah or people in Iowa or Maine to sue the federal government for the implications of the Electoral College keeping illegal aliens on the voting rolls.
Well, that's kind of why I've been there's been a movement here in Lady whispering in the wind of getting rid of the Electoral College by the Democrats.
Well, yeah, they've been wanting to do that for years.
Yep.
They call it undemocratic. I'm not sure what
it
that
is
means.
It is undemocratic. It's Republican.
In their language, it means they lose if people vote. And so they don't want people to vote, whether it be the tens of millions for a presidential election or 535 people in an electoral college.
Well, I mean, and then what happens is that we get right back to what are we? Are we a democracy or a republic that's a representative republic? And that's what we're talking about. And that's why we're not being representative and that represented. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need to have, they're pushing democracy, 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 democracy. That's all I ever heard when I was in school. And then you find out when you read the Constitution, we're a republic, a constitutional republic that has individual rights so that each one has a say in their voting block. And that's been taken away by Reynolds versus Sims and other means with the illegal aliens and so forth. Now, you mentioned earlier that you said that let me get it up here. What state I'm thinking of? Rhode Island, I guess it is. What is
no,
it?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
New
Hampshire. New Hampshire. That has the best voting block. New Hampshire has the best representation in the nation. Did they adopt Reynolds versus Sims? Do you know that? If they did that?
No, they didn't. And it's interesting. New Hampshire has 400 members of their state house of representatives, which is equal to our assembly. And they have 24 members of their state senate. So it's 400 versus 24. And I've been to New Hampshire a few times. I've met a lot of these folks who serve in the legislature. They are truly neighborhood people. They're people of the community. They truly represent their neighborhood and community rather than special interests. The state senate is a little more formal in New Hampshire and is does have a little more input by the special interest, but at least you have a state house of representatives that is truly representative of the people. If I remember correctly, they have one representative for approximately 6,000 people.
Listen, I have a question. Now, we know it's outlined in the Constitution. What is it, Article 3, Section 4, Constitutional Split?
Article 4, Section 3.
Thank you. Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution authorizes a state split if the people decide in their districts that they would rather have the state split due to representation or lack thereof. My question to you is this. The founders put that in the Constitution for a reason. Why is everybody so opposed to that? Because their reasoning, from my understanding, was to make sure that we all had a representative government. Mm-hmm. Why are all of the Republicans in the state of California opposed to a state split, a legal state split, as authorized by the Constitution?
Actually, you should also go back to, I think it's 1849, the resolution that made California a state. In that resolution that made California a state, it also allows for the state of California to be split up into three parts. When Texas became a state, their resolution that made them a state has in it that Texas could break up into up to five parts.
So why do you think that the Republicans and the Democrats in the state of California, to hold your feet to the fire on the question, are opposed to that?
Well, they're opposed to it because, gee whiz, we'd have to have lobbyists and we'd have to be buying politicians in three states rather than one state, and they feel it's cheaper to do it. It's just a matter of economics. It's cheaper to buy one politician than three politicians.
So how does again, going back to it, you've said it 100 times, and really, I mean, lack of representation is the problem. Why aren't you guys screaming from the rooftops, we need more representation, number one? Number two, there's a thing called a benchmark. The benchmark originally in the state of California was one assemblyman for about every 4,000 people and one senator for about every 8,000 people. In 1862, that's when we were capped, Steve, 1862, 40 and 80, Senate and Assembly. The population was 417,000. We haven't added one representative, but we've added 39.5 million people. And you're telling me all these other things that you want to do, with all due respect, what we need to do, and you need to get the Republican Party to do, is get a doggone amendment in there if you want to save California. That's why we won't, still won't save it. But get an amendment in there to have better representation. What would the benchmark be? Well, let's talk about that after the break.
Yeah, we have to go to a break. If you want to take that time to answer the question on the other side, that would be great. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State, 96.5 FM.
You don't spend. I swear she must believe it's all heaven sent.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five-Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five-Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
February 22nd, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy to be able to have the choices available for a completely committed healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. From the bakery and deli, vitamins and supplements, organic groceries, and organic produce. All of the best possible products at the lowest possible price. At Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
You ladies were blackbirds, if you ladies were thrushes, I'd lie there for hours in the cold, chilly marshes, if you ladies were squirrels. With high bushy tails, I'd fill up my shotgun with rock salt and nails.
Yeah, you gotta fill up the shotgun with rock salt and nails. All right,
so. I am so triggered.
Oh man, I just want to give everybody the definition of sophistry. A plausible but fallacious argument, a plausible but misleading or fallacious argument. And that seems to be what we get a lot of from our politicians these days is that, you know, I feel like I'm in a Charlie Brown cartoon with because it's the same old stuff over and over again, and we don't seem to get to the answers, you know, and we don't get to any definitive solutions, it seems like. So with that said,
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that's the thing. We're trying to get a definitive, you know, with all due respect, Steve, we're trying to get an answer out of you. And the real deal is a direct answer. You've talked about representation. You've talked about representation. You talked about the benchmarks that we have in New Hampshire. You made the statement that, we only have to buy one politician now instead of three. I mean, seriously, is there something that the 23 counties of the state of Jefferson who have filed declarations because of the lack of representation and dilution of vote to withdraw from the state of California. With an Article 4, Section 3 state split, it's not secession, it's a withdrawal. You're not giving us anything here. You see, the deal is that you're for representation, but you haven't mentioned one thing about it. The solution is for the people to sue. Okay? Really? Why not?
Been there.
What? Yeah,
done that.
We're doing that.
Well, yeah,
the deal
that.
Is that, so what's the deal? I mean, you've been on here for an hour and a half, with all due respect, and we have absolutely nothing here. There's nothing here. That's the deal. The deal is that if we're going to, are you for moving the Republican Party to push for an amendment for better representation in the state of California or not? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, then
right.
that's what
all
we
right.
need. Okay, good. What's the benchmark?
I'm not sure I you know what you mean by benchmark.
Benchmark. A benchmark is how many people per representative. Originally, it was one for every 5,000.
I have a question too. If you become the head of the Republican Party, which representatives are you going to tap to bring forth that legislation?
There you go. So you have two questions there.
The second one is every Republican member of the state assembly and state senate must be asked and pressured to do that.
Well, you're
not just one.
Well, you made a comment, a bit prophetic, and you made a comment. Thanks for that answer. You made a comment that. It was actually done on K-High Radio about a month and a half ago. You were on their Jefferson show, and you made a comment that, you know, California would end up losing, the Republicans would end up losing 5 assembly seats by 2020. When you made that comment, you became pretty much a prophet, because we just lost one who went to the Democratic Party from San Diego. So we're down to 19. So what you're telling me is that you're going to push for all 19 and all, what do we got, 11 left in the Senate? So all 30 guys.
10 left in the Senate, plus the one open seat in your area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, probably a Republican will get that, since they're only running one Democrat.
I wouldn't count on that. It would seem to be, but I think it's
going to
be tough
for us to hold the seat,
because Democrats are going to do ballot harvesting. The Republicans are fighting among themselves, and I think it's going to be tough. We're going to have to fight to keep that Ted Gaines seat.
Well, he never did anything anywhere
for
him. Nothing. We would call him Ted who?
Yeah, we won't miss him.
You won't miss him. Every county that he represented joined the state of Jefferson. Every one of them. You know, here's the real deal. I guess what we're frustrated about is we're finding that people, and again, with all due respect, like yourself, don't even know what we're doing, don't know the Constitution, and don't have solutions or answers for us. And it's time, and nobody's trying to be rude here, but if you're going to represent us in a party that many of us belong to, and you don't have an answer for anything, because the answer has been representation, did I say representation? That's been the answer. And the whole time this has been danced around. Now, we're going to talk, Travis Allen called me last week, and we had a very frank conversation, no pun intended. But we had a conversation, and you know, frankly, when we talk, we didn't pull any punches with each other. Okay, it wasn't disrespectful. But the real deal is we're all getting tired of this. We're getting tired of people giving us the same pat answers, or this or that, or do you know what's wrong, and agreeing with what's wrong. The people know what is wrong. They know what is wrong. You don't need to tell us what's wrong. What you need to have is some sort of solution. So right now, I'm thinking, gosh. If you're going to ask for representation, then that should be foremost, frontward. That is the silver bullet. Been looking for it since 2009. That's the silver bullet, representation.
Well, I will disagree with a comment you just made, Terry, that people know what's wrong. In fact, yes, in the state of Jefferson area, people do have an understanding of what's wrong. In the vast majority of California, they have no idea whatsoever. They haven't heard the discussion of representation at all. It's not something that is discussed at central committees and political clubs in most of the state. And so the first step is to get everybody on board that this is an issue. And I agree with you. Representation is an issue. The problem is that it's not made it outside of the state of Jefferson as an issue.
Well, that's why we're a little bit angry too, Steve, is because we're trying to get you guys to start yelling this stuff from the rooftop so everybody hears it, as opposed to not
talking
about it.
And I will make an offer to you and to the people on the panel here. As you know, I run the California Political News and Views. Comes out 6 days a week, 3 a.m. as a free subscription service. If you want to write an op-ed on representation, so this could go statewide, not just to the good folks in the state of Jefferson, I'd be very happy to publish that article to get that conversation going, to get people to understand that this is an issue.
Okay, I will take you up on that, whether I write it or I get somebody to help me write it or whatever we'll do, we'll get it written.
Sure.
And I have read your columns. Whoever. And I've read your columns in the past, and I think that you've done some good stuff. So I will try to get that within the next week or two out to you.
Great, because that's really a significant part of the problem. While folks in the state of Jefferson area discuss this on a regular basis, a daily basis, the folks in the Central Valley had never heard this issue. On the Central Coast, never heard this issue.
Well, no, that's not the case.
You know,
no,
up and down the state. And except in the state of Jefferson area, no one speaks about it. You earlier had a guest on, Terry G, and she was at the debate last Saturday in Angels Camp in Calaveras, and the issue barely came up. And it should have come up much larger in Calaveras.
Well, I can't speak to that because I wasn't there. So.
Well, I guess here's the deal, though. You've been driving the position of representation all through this program. You're the one who started with New Hampshire and stuff. So you understand that issue. So what you're telling me is that as one of the two candidates running for the top dog of the Republican Party, and I know Travis has talked about representation, that you're telling me that the 23 counties, by the way, we have some in the Central Valley, and I don't know if you know Ben Burkholm or not, but we have got a lot of good friends in the Central Valley.
I know Ben very well.
Okay. Well, the thing is that, you know, there's a little, if you know him very well, then you know he understands representation. So the deal is, and I don't know if you know Marie Robertson either, Robertson.
Marie up in Modesto.
That's right.
She's a very good friend
That's
of
right.
mine. I was on her podcast about 2 weeks ago.
I know you were, because I listened to it. See, Marie is the head of the committee for the state of Jefferson in Stanislaus County. Now, here's the deal. The deal is that I think that the problem is that people who run for these different positions are as informed as they want to be informed, and they're only informed with the things they want to be informed in the areas that they're talking to those people in. You've known about representation for longer probably than we have, probably longer than Red's been alive. And at this particular point, how come you haven't spread that word out when you know that's the silver bullet? Because that's what we want out of leadership in a party.
And you should get that type of leadership that you want. And I have been talking about representation for many years. When you look at my articles in the California Political News and Views, I talk about the lack of representation, the lack of qualified representation, the lack of honest representation,
It's numbers.
In Washington and Sacramento. So I've been talking about representation, not in the terms that you're talking about, one-on-one. I have been talking about periodically over the years, Ronald Reagan's comment that the worst mistake he made politically was support the concept of the ballot measure in 1966, to create what we now have in Sacramento. He realized, later in life that that was a mistake. And I've talked about that as well.
We've got Terry G on the line. She's called back. Terry, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to clarify something with Steve. And I know you probably get a lot of emails, et cetera, but you are on my media list, and I have sent you every press release regarding our court case from day one. And, in fact, when we just announced we were going to file our appeal, you emailed me back and said, I'm glad you're moving forward with this.
Oh, boy.
So,
what'd you say, Steve?
I just wanted to let you know. I have about 150 on my media list, and you're one of them. Not to mention that the story about what we've been doing more than once have been in the New York Times, the L.A. Times, on and on. So we have reached out to the media, and we've had a lot of publicity from throughout the nation on what our effort is. Not to the extent that we would like, but, and again, I'm going to contact every central committee, and I would appreciate if, when you're making your rounds, trying to gain delegates, that you, you might suggest this might be a way to go. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that there's been a good point made there, Steve. You haven't been in the dark, and people haven't been in the dark. But with that, I think we have to go off to
a
break.
Yeah, we have to go to a break. And we will catch it on the other side. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call
what is happening in the state of Jefferson. Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Vintage Public House in downtown Reading invites you in to experience their newly remodeled restaurant, now featuring your favorite classic cocktails, Sunday brunch, and more. Have brunch with Vintage and enjoy entrees like chicken and waffles with house-made rum syrup, sweet corn cakes, eggs benedict with crispy pancetta, a mimosa bar with a variety of juices and fresh fruit, and Bloody Marys. Every Sunday from 10 to 2. From appetizers to entrees, lunch, dinner, and now brunch. Vintage Public House. For more information, follow on Facebook or check out their website, VintageReading.com. Located at the corner of Market and Sacramento, across from the Cascade Theater.
Winter is coming. At least that's what the calendar says, and the nights are getting cooler. So you don't want to put off having your Monitor or Toyotomi heater and water heater serviced, and SST Oil are the people to call today at 241-1167. Stay warm and cozy when the temperature drops by having that system checked and fresh fuel delivered. SST Oil delivering to our firefighters, and they'll bring that same dedication to your home. SST Oil, Windham Lane in Reading, 241-1167.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I don't hear words they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare, I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain, going where the weather suits my soul.
Should we start singing?
You should.
Banking off of the northeast wind, sailing on summer breeze.
Maybe we should stop.
Maybe.
We got a future.
Yeah.
Never mind.
We got a future.
But I don't think it's in
we've
singing.
We've got CJ on the line from Nevada County, and are you there, CJ?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Right. You're on the air, so go ahead and ask your question or make your statement.
Yeah, I have a question for Steve Franks, and I know that he has in the past been very active in the California Tea Party Caucus. They have a base in the central California area and also in Southern California and the Orange County area. I wondered capitalizing on what he said about getting it out in the California News and Review, I wonder if he might not use his sources with those groups because they meet frequently. And I wondered if, Steve, you might not use your influence with those groups to more firmly get the word out and show them that you are in support of the state of Jefferson.
CJ, always good to talk to you. I'm actually the political director for the Tea Party California Caucus, and I serve on the board of directors as well. And you make a good point. This should be added to our platform of issues that we are promoting both statewide and in the local Tea Party chapters. This is a grassroots issue. The Tea Party tries to be as grassroots as possible, and by doing so, bringing representation as an issue to them would be a good one. I haven't done that before, but you do bring bring up a good additional avenue of approach.
Well, thank you. And a follow-up question then with the upcoming convention, right, at the end of February. Is it possible that we might not get to the resolutions board?
The state party has a regulation that says all resolutions for the convention have to be in by 20 days prior to the convention. So since we've passed that deadline, a direct resolution cannot be done. But it was mentioned earlier on this program, I think it was by Terry, I'm not positive now, but it was suggested that the a resolution be presented to the County Chairman's Association, which meets at 2 p.m. on Friday afternoon. And if it goes to them, it could then be sent, once passed, by them to the Resolutions Committee to be heard the next day. And that may be a way to get around the deadline. But
absolutely.
Either way, it should be presented both to the County Chair's committee as well as the resolutions committee.
Oh, excellent. Well, I just wanted to thank Red and Terry for holding this call with Steve Franks because I think there's some real definitive action going forward on this issue, and I'm hoping that it will help the state of Jefferson. So thank you all very much.
All right. Thanks for calling in, CJ. We appreciate it.
Yeah, CJ, you're still my hero, hon. But anyway, but anyway, I'll talk to you later. But anyway, yeah, the thing is that, you know, holding people's feet to the fire, you kept saying that, you know, and, you know, really as far as the Tea Parties go, you know, the Tea Party isn't what the Tea Party used to be. Frankly, Nevada County used to boast the biggest Tea Party with the Becklers, et cetera, that we ever had. Now the county's blue. But I want you to understand that, you know, you talked about that a lot of people don't know this. The state of Jefferson was on the front page of the LA Times. I mean, in full color. We have been on CBS. I mean,
Sacramento Bee, the Fresno Bee.
Yeah.
I mean,
believe me, we get
San Francisco Chronicle.
We have had stuff, right, Red? We've had stuff from LA. We had Haley followed us around from the LA Times.
Hell, I had stories picked up in Israel.
I know. And so the deal is that this idea of all this just becoming, you know, oh gosh, you know, gee, maybe we need to start talking about this and nobody knows about it. I just can't swallow that. We have five other states that have talked to us and called us. The state of Washington, for crying out loud. The state of Liberty.
Der Spiegel in Germany.
Exactly.
You know,
Der Spiegel magazine,
I mean,
and the Abahi Shinbun out of Japan flew out. I mean, come on, man. You know, the real deal is that it's time to just get it done, no matter what it costs any of us. The problem is if you're afraid of losing political capital, then, you know, then that is not a statesman. That's not the statesman that Mark mentioned at the top of this particular program.
And here's the essence of the fight, Steve, is at the end of it, we're fighting for our future. I'm fighting for my future. I'm fighting for a future of my children that they absolutely do not have in this state. They will not have a job. They will not have a place to live. They will not be able to function as productive human beings in this state if we continue upon our course. And I and other fathers like me can no longer afford the lip service that we are given so that you can maintain a level of shrinking comfort. And we're tired of it, and it has to change. That's the face of this fight.
I have no disagreement with what you just said. Unfortunately, Not too many people read one article in Der Spiegel or one article in a Japanese magazine or newspaper.
Or the LA Times.
Or the LA Times.
See, this
Coast.
Is a lip service.
We're just
about
out.
They're
going to cut us off. We want to thank you for coming on.
That's right. We got 1 minute left, Steve, and we want to thank you for coming on, and we hope to have you back at some point. But that's it for Sovereign Mind Radio. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, and professionals built the Titanic. We'll see you next week.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.